In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. Oh my goodness, the weekend's almost here. It's already a Thursday and we're going to have a blast tonight. If I sound a little different, and the show's going to sound a little different, meaning when I need audio cuts, I don't have my fancy soundboard. It's because it's a long story. We're not in our normal studio today. It's a very long story. I will tell you another time, but it's going to sound a touch different, but it's the same show. It's still me. It's still Jewish producer Chris. It's still Michael. And it's still, well, the border's about to be flooded. We'll get to a lot of border talk tonight. I'm going to get to the Trump stuff here briefly in just a moment, what we saw last night, what we didn't see. It's more about the media's reaction than anything else. We're going to get into a bunch of emails tonight, some way behind. And as you know, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So I need to clear out the email list before you pour them in. And that brings me to this little tidbit here. So before I get into the Trump stuff and the town hall and the border and this homeless guy in New York who's going away for life, we'll get to that in a second. Tomorrow, as you well know, Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, like it is every Friday. Get your questions. Ask me anything. Get them emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But I should let you know we are going to do an experiment on tomorrow's show. I am almost 100% positive this will be the only time we do this experiment because I assume it's going to end in horrific failure. Nevertheless, he who dares throw a great or something. I don't know. I should have looked that quote up before the show. Anyway, we're going to dare greatly. And we're going to take phone questions tomorrow. I've never done that. I truly doubt I will ever do it again. But we are going to take phone calls live for your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Oh, my gosh, Chris, please be ready with the drop button tomorrow for these phone calls. But anyway, let us begin with, look, there's a million things that are much, much bigger than Trump doing a town hall on CNN last night. So I'm going to bring, we're going to talk briefly about this. Then we're going to move on to all the other stuff, the debt and the border. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. But what happened? CNN invited Trump on. Trump accepted to come on. What are you seeing there? Why? Why accept it? Why would CNN invite it? Why? Well, Chris, go ahead and play cut four. I think cut four really sums up everything you saw.
You are running in the 2024 race. If you are the Republican nominee and you are in that 2024 race, will you commit tonight to accepting the results of the 2024 election?
Yeah, if I think it's an honest election, absolutely I would.
Will you commit to accepting the results of the election regardless of the outcome?
You want me to answer it again? If I think it's an honest election, I would be honored to. And right now we are so far ahead of both Democrat and Republican. And you know what? If I don't win, this country is going to be in big trouble. It's so sad to see what's happening.
But no commitment there on the accepting the results regardless of the outcome.
If it's an honest election, correct.
Okay. So not committing to accepting the 2024 election results or acknowledging what happened in 2020.
Go
President
ahead.
Trump, I want to thank you for coming here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you looking at?
This is all gamesmanship. It's gamesmanship by Trump. It's gamesmanship by CNN. Let's look at it from CNN's angle first. We'll get to the Trump angle in a moment. CNN's angle. Why invite Trump on? CNN's getting savaged today by all the commies in the country. How could you let him on? How could you let him talk? Because, you know, all communists believe in censorship. But Donald Trump should never be allowed to speak. If they had their way, they'd throw him in a dark hole in the ground. That's how communists think. Why invite Trump on? Remember, yes, they're all communists at CNN. They are. But in the end, they all like to drive fancy cars, stay in fancy apartments in Manhattan. They all like steak dinners. They like being in the media. You know why they like being in the media? I can tell you this as somebody who's worked normal jobs my entire life, from construction to Marine Corps to selling RVs, and now I work in the media. You know why they want to be in the media? Because being in the media is not even really a job. It's not even really a job. I'm sitting right here now in a studio in a t-shirt and comfortable jeans and shoes on, where I will work for 3 hours, and that's a full day's work today. It's not even a job. They pay you to do what you love. It's not even a job. And these people want to keep that job. And they can't keep that job if CNN's ratings keep going down. And CNN's ratings keep going down because everyone at CNN is freaking boring. It's not even because they're left. Now, that hurts them because communism in and of itself is boring. There's no unique thought to it. When you become communist, you turn yourself into a robot who just simply does and says what you're told to say, and it's hard to make that interesting. But the problem for CNN is CNN is boring. They are. They were boring before Trump ever came down that escalator and ran for office the first time. Really, really boring. They were dying. The ratings were dying. Then Trump comes down the escalator and says, hey, Mexico's sending a bunch of drug dealers and criminals over here. CNN freaked out, went on a now 6-year freak out, and they watched their ratings go through the roof because communists hate watch CNN to hear CNN dog on Donald Trump. Donald Trump loses to Joe Biden. Loses to Joe Biden. Anyway, Donald Trump loses to Joe Biden, and Donald Trump, he leaves, he goes to Mar-a-Lago to golf, he's no longer in the news every day, and CNN watches its ratings nosedive into the sea. CNN, their management, and their anchors are standing there, sitting there, watching advertising dollars fly out the door, because what advertiser would pay top money to have their product advertised on a channel nobody watches anymore? And so they're in flat-out panic. What do they need? They need eyeballs. They need you to watch. They need somebody to watch. So what do? Well, they don't cultivate any talent. There's all kinds of talent out there, all kinds of local TV talent they could be looking at. Local stations are basically a farm team for these national shows, and there's all kinds of talent everywhere. You probably have talent. There's all kinds of talent there. But they didn't go looking for that. They went with the solution that most people go with. The easy solution. What worked before? What worked before? When were CNN's ratings the highest over the last 20 years? When Donald Trump was there. So you extend the invite, get Donald Trump in, get some eyeballs finally back to your station. That's what CNN was doing. Which brings us to the Trump thing. Why do it if you're Trump? Now, I will say philosophically, we disagree on this, Trump and I, but that doesn't mean I'm right and he's wrong. We just disagree. I believe the media, just as he believes, is the enemy of the people, but I believe as such, they should be ignored and frozen out, that they should never be given a platform, never be given legitimacy at all. Don't just badmouth them, just flat out ignore them. That's how I believe they should be handled. Trump doesn't believe that. And that's fine. He has a different belief system. Trump believes, hey, I'll go on there anyway. I'll dominate whatever moron they put to host the thing. I'll get my message out there, and it'll all work well because everyone will talk about me. Trump has had a philosophy his entire career, not just his political career, his entire career. Trump has adhered to that old saying you've heard 10 trillion times, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Trump believes that. He has always believed that. He believed it. He believes it to his core. That's why Donald Trump sits down with Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. He knows she's about to write some 10,000-word screed, making him look like the second coming of Adolf Hitler. He sits down with her anyway because he believes it's better to be in the paper and portrayed as Hitler than not be in the paper at all. And again, he may not be wrong about that, but that's the Trump belief. So CNN wins by having Trump on. Trump, at least in his mind, wins by having Trump on. As far as CNN's angle goes, they get to kind of win because they ask Trump questions about things they want Trump talking about. What the American people want to hear right now from anyone running for office, and these are issues that Trump is actually very good at, they want to hear, how are you going to secure the border? We got 750,000 people coming to the border. We're about to talk about that in a second. We got the border about to be flooded. The economy's in shambles. We don't like this Russia-Ukraine thing. We want that to stop. And these are Trump's bread and butter issues. So that's what Trump wants to talk about. But what does CNN want Trump to talk about? They want him to talk about the 2020 election being stolen. Why? Because that's a huge loser for Republicans. Doesn't matter if you believe it. I believe it. I've already made my thoughts on it very well known. We still shouldn't campaign on it. It is an election loser. Independents, women, they don't want to hear it. Period. They don't want to hear a grievance campaign. They don't care. I care. You care. They don't care. So we got to drop it. That's what they want him talking about. That's why she led with the question about the 2020 election, and you say it was stolen. They think they're going to control the narrative. So that's why you saw what you saw. Now let's move on, because we have much, much, much bigger things going on right now. Bigger fish to fry than a town hall on CNN everyone will forget about 35 seconds from now. One of the things we have to fry is I had a conversation with Peter Schiff yesterday. Peter Schiff is one of these economists who's predicted all the breakings of economies. He predicted the 2008 downfall. He's one of these geniuses. And he said something to me yesterday that was freaking disheartening. You know how I've been predicting a Great Depression? That's what I've been saying is coming. I think we have a Great Depression coming. Peter Schiff told me I'm underselling that. And I about fell out of my chair. I said, excuse me, what? He said, no, I actually think it'll be worse, because he thinks the world is going to move off the dollar as the reserve currency. And that will completely alter America. Have you called Oxford Gold yet? Why do you think gold's trending up? Why do you think banks are buying it? Call 833-995-GOLD before it's too late to call. 833-995-GOLD.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I'm so excited / horrified for Ask Dr. Jesse tomorrow night. Get your emails in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, because the chances the phone calls are going to last the whole show, not good. Not good at all. One last thing on this town hall from last night, then we're moving on to bigger things. It is funny. It is funny what a bubble media people do live in. And this is the danger of the media world. As I've told you a million times, this is why, as much as I love New York City, this is why I'm glad I don't live in New York City. I'll visit every chance I get. I'm glad I don't live there. Because when you live in a media hub like that, when you live in a media hub like Joe Scarborough and all these people, the truth is you never, ever have to encounter normal people at all. Let's pause for a quick second before I play the Scarborough thing. I'm totally going to get distracted here. But you've read stories, or at least I hope you've read stories or have heard of stories before, of historical kings, monarchs of some kind, they did this in Aladdin, the friggin' Disney movie, who will dress like peasants, dress like the normal people, and sneak out of the castle and go walk through the streets. That is a very common historical theme. It's something monarchs, not all of them, they all should have done it, but it's something they've done throughout history. Why? What does a king get out of that? Why? You want to go smell pee? You want to go see how horrible some people live? What does it benefit him? Well, if you're a king, you wake up in silk sheets. It's pretty girls, hot water, the best food, everyone kissing your ring, kissing your rear end, and life is good. Oh, are you hot, Mr. King? Here, let me fan you. And therefore, at some point, if you live like that long enough, you will have no relation whatsoever to what other people live like, to what other people care about, to what other people talk about. Have you ever known somebody who got rich? who got super rich and they moved out of where they lived before. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Move to your nice neighborhood, whatever. And they start enjoying the finer things in life. I'll put it that way. I have a friend who I'm thinking about in case you're wondering. Don't worry. He doesn't listen to the show, so I'm not going to get busted for this. But he grew up with me in Bozeman. And we were just, look, he worked construction, not with me, but he worked construction the same time I was working construction. He was doing concrete when I was doing underground water and sewer stuff. But long story short, ended up making it really, really big. It was an inheritance thing. And millions and millions. I never found out how much. I heard it was something like $30 million, but it was a lot. So he gets a lot of money. And we're all happy for him. Happy for him. And at first, it was awesome. He went out and bought a sweet truck. I'm still in my $600 1983 Honda Accord. He's in a brand new Chevy pickup truck. It was awesome. He souped it up, of course. But we still hung out all the time. It was, you know, chasing women around, having a good time. And then eventually, he didn't want to live in the apartments anymore. That's kind of crappy. He wanted a house, really nice house. And he just kept kind of trending upward. And it's not that he became a jerk. He really did not. He really, at least not that I know of. I haven't talked to him in a few years. But we eventually stopped hanging out because eventually we just didn't have anything in common anymore. He'd moved on to fancy cars, fancy houses, indoor pool in Montana. How cool is that? Indoor pool, fancy vacations. And we just didn't have anything to talk about anymore. He didn't understand anything I cared about. I didn't understand anything he cared about. We would get together and he'd complain about taxes. I wasn't even paying tax. I wasn't making enough money. So Joe Scarborough and the media types, they've never understood the popularity. They've never understood what made Trump so appealing to people. Because it's not because they didn't understand Trump. It's because they never understood you. They never understood me. They didn't understand. And look, if you're Joe Scarborough, you don't understand. Why do you care about illegal immigration? Because for someone like Joe Scarborough, he doesn't care about the country. He certainly doesn't care about lost jobs. He doesn't care about your kids having to have a separate bilingual wing in the school because his kids are never going to go to that school. He just doesn't, even if he's a good person, which he's not, he's a piece of crap. But even if he was a good person, he would have no relation to you. So, look, Chris, go ahead and play number 14. These people are just, they don't understand why this is appealing at all.
He keeps drilling down deeper and deeper into his base. But I can't believe I'm going to use catastrophizing language here. But it was disgraceful on every level. It showed, I wouldn't say it's dangerous for democracy because we passed that a long time ago, but it showed the corrosive effects of Trumpism over 8 years. And I've got to say, the most shocking part was an audience who cheered on a president who tried to overturn American democracy. An audience that mocked and ridiculed a woman who a jury of her peers, Donald Trump's peers, found had been sexually assaulted. Those Americans there last night turned that into a punchline, laughed and dismissed on January the 6th, beaten up over and over again, calling a cop a thug. Who actually was trying to stop people from the House floor from being killed.
Okay, we'll talk about that briefly, and then we're getting to the illegal immigration stuff. Now, let's talk about you and me and something that's actually not fun to talk about, but it'll turn out to be fun in the end. Practicing. Who likes to practice? Nobody does. You ever play sports? Practice sucked. I hated practicing for basketball and baseball. The games are fun. Practice sucked. When it comes to shooting, practice, especially when you think about dry fire practice, it sounds like a chore, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like yet another obligation? Oh gosh, here we go. I'm off work. I'm finally done with the kids. And now I have to practice with my weapon. Hear me out. Get a Mantis X. Mantis sex is more than target practice, which you can do in the comfort of your home. It's dry fire practice. Mantis sex is fun because they put you through drills and you'll find yourself not only competing against family members, which is fun, good family time, competing against yourself, watching yourself improve. It's like video games with real life rewards. Go get a Mantis X. The Green Berets use it for a reason. All right. Go to MantisX.com. You have to practice. I have to practice. We're not just going to miraculously become good. It doesn't work that way. You are practiced or you suck. There's no third way. MantisX.com. All right. MantisX.com. We'll just sum up those Joe Scarborough comments and then we're going to get to the legal immigration stuff next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, let's get to something really quickly here. The border crisis. And it's really bad. And I had talked about this briefly a couple days ago, but I want to bring this up now because we're going to have a very difficult to hear discussion about the border and illegal immigration, but it is necessary with all this crap going on in the country and all these people flooding our way. The headline from the New York Post is migrant kids mixed with single men in New York City shelter sparks safety concerns. Safety concerns. Huh. You see, they're worried because children are being housed with men, illegal immigrant children are being held with illegal immigrant men, and they're worried now because there are safety concerns. Okay. This is why people outside of the major metro areas get so angry when they're talked down to by the major metro areas. I hate to be too on the nose with this, but I don't know really another way to be, so I'm just going to say it. Children have been assaulted in the worst ways you can possibly imagine by illegal immigrant men as they have made their way to America's border for years. Do you know, and I'm going to be careful with this. I understand there are children listening. I get that. But look, we got to be honest about things. Have you ever heard of the term rape tree? Do you know what that is? If you're a young lady, honestly, very young, If you're a young lady, 10 and above, 11 and above, 12 and above, if you're getting ready to make the journey up north, oftentimes, this is very, very common, your mother will put you on birth control before you leave because your mother understands that you will be preyed upon along the way. It's a power and control thing. The coyotes do this to the women. They like to do it in specific places, like trees, and then they leave souvenirs. I'm not going to go into the souvenirs. It's just, it's too much with the kids listening. They leave souvenirs behind at the trees. These stories are, if I was to read them to you or discuss them in detail with you, they're the most horrible thing you can possibly imagine in your life. And if you're sensitive at all, you would cry. They are the worst stories ever. This has been the life people, real people, have been living for years and years and years as they try to come to the border. But all of a sudden, New York City, they get a couple thousand illegal immigrants in, and now there are safety concerns about the shelter. So let me just go ahead and explain something to everybody. The, quote, compassionate immigration stance of the entire Democratic Party and about 75% of the Republican Party, that, quote, compassionate stance, that's the reason there are rape trees, and that's the reason there are problems in New York City shelters. The most evil, horrid, violent stance you can possibly take on illegal immigration is a compassionate stance. Did you know that? Did you know? I'm about to tell you my stance. Longtime listeners will know it. And you actually might recoil in horror when I explain my stance to you. But my stance, the horrible stance I'm about to tell you, it's the nice one that actually cares about these people. The people who say, I'm an immigration squish, or, well, we should just let the kids come, or, that once you're here and paying taxes, we shouldn't deport you. You don't know it, but you're the violent one. You're the evil enabler. You're the one who does this to people. So allow me to explain what my stance would be. My stance is everybody, men, women, and children are stopped at the border at gunpoint, and they are told to turn around and head back from whence they came. All of them. Turn around. Here's a bottle of water. Have a nice walk. That direction is south. Good luck to you. That sounds mean, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, Jesse, you're going to turn away women and children? Yes, I am. And here's why. How many times do you think you would have to do that before people stopped trying to come? Let's go with once. You'd have to do that one time, one group of people, and then the word would spread from Mexico to Central America to South America to Europe to all the different places these people are coming from. Word would spread. America's border is closed. All of a sudden, no more rape trees because no one else is trying to come. Also, my other part of my stance, if you're here illegally, ICE is the only part of the federal government I would expand. It would be expanded for a time. You will be rounded up, men, women, and children. I don't care about how many sad pictures you take. You will be rounded up. You will be thrown in the back of a truck. You will be put on a plane, and you will be sent back to where you came from. Again, this is a message to all the rest of the world that America is closed unless you come here legally. But you can't get even Republicans to do it. What I just said would make most Republicans, you're probably recoiling in horror at that. So let's talk about the compassionate stance. Well, we should let the women and kids in. Obviously, they're kids. Jesse, don't you love kids? No, you don't understand. I have my stance because I do love kids. Because the second you tell people, no, 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 bring your kids, it's fine. Oh, ladies, come on, it's okay. Just the women and kids, though. The second you have that stance, the evil people, the coyotes, the cartels, they figure out a way to take advantage of that, and the rape trees fire up again. The second you express the tiniest amount of compassion when it comes to illegal immigration, you are actually becoming evil and violent because you're enabling evil and violence. You are. I know that sucks, but the most compassionate stance you can possibly take on illegal immigration is nobody's coming in, period, end of story, and everyone who's already in, get out now, or we will arrest you and deport you. That is the only stance to take. But because for the first time in history, New York City's experiencing what El Paso has experienced for years. Now we have articles. They're worried about, quote, migrant kids and their safety. Do you understand what's happening to women and children within the borders of the United States of America already? You understand that this slavery these people are going through, indentured servitude, you understand that they're filming things here to pay off that debt? Children. That's what Joe Biden's compassionate stance on illegal immigration has done. The largest slave trade in the world today takes place on our border. Why? Because of compassion. Because we're being really nice. Look how nice we are. That's the truth. That compassion equals child pornography. Tough to hear, I know, but necessary. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this, and we're moving on to some other things and emails. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, did you plan that refugee song because you knew we were talking about illegal immigration? That's a little too on the nose, don't you think? No, you don't just like Tom Petty. That's not true. We all know if you had your druthers, you'd be playing that Mary Jane song. Anyway, it's the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's time to dig into what is coming. There is, by our latest report, according to journalist Jesse, according to reports all over the place, there is a tidal wave of illegal immigrants coming to America. And I should probably clarify before I play this Mayorkas stuff and Hank Johnson being an idiot and everything else, we are not talking about Mexicans here. Yes, there are Mexicans in there. There's no question about it. And there are a bunch of people from South America there. There are people from Haiti. There are people from China. There are people from Russia. People from all over Europe. People from Africa. There are people from everywhere in this tidal wave. Now, I hate to even say this because it's so horrible, but here's the God's honest truth. They're all coming in. Almost everyone is coming in. Because you have an administration that just doesn't care about the country, and that all they care about is political. They don't want to look bad. They want to flood the country with illegal immigrants. Their goal for the people coming in will be to get them in as fast as humanly possible. Wrap your mind around that. It's not to stop them. It's not to slow them down. Their goal will be essentially to be the matador who steps aside and says, come on, just hurry up, come on by, hurry, before the cameras catch you. Because that's all they care about. Again, remember, when you're led by people who aren't mindful of America at all, well, that's the kind of thing they do. Mayorkas, Chris, play cut 7, go.
We have seen the effectiveness of our approach. More than 100,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela have arrived lawfully through the pathway we have made available to them. And we reduced border encounters from these groups by 90% between December of last year and March of this year.
Okay, that's Yeah. Chris, go ahead and play cut number eight, please. Oh, well, by the way, before you play number eight, sorry. Texas states are beginning to realize the federal government is completely against them and welcoming these people in. So you're beginning to see some spots in places like Texas where Texas has people in barbed wire lined up at the border saying, no, nope, not here. Go somewhere else. Not coming in here. Mayorkas doesn't like that very much. Chris, play cut eight.
We've just seen some images from Texas showing Texas National Guard and DPS physically blocking migrants from climbing up the riverbanks and accessing U.S. soil. Does the department believe that that's a legal enforcement posture by the state of Texas?
Nick, I'm going to leave it to our Department of Justice to speak to the lawfulness or lack thereof of those actions.
Or lack thereof? How broken is the nation when that's even a question a reporter can ask? Chris said in my ear during that thing, oh, you mean kind of like a border? It's so true. That's what countries do. Sovereign countries stop people at the border from coming in. That's what countries do. And yet, in this country, it's so outside of the norm, the DOJ's already involved. Wow, we're going to have to dig in and see if that's even lawful. Hey, Bob, can they even do that? Yeah. But hey, look, that was all the bad news, and we're going to get to a bunch of emails next hour and things like that. But there is good news on the illegal immigration front. In case you thought this stuff was just going to continue and it wasn't going to stop as long as Joe Biden was president and there was no stopping it, well, I've got some great news for you. Chris, play cut nine. Let's just say they've got a plan.
Today, we are beginning a new digital advertising campaign in Central and South America to counter the lies of the smugglers with accurate information about U.S. immigration laws. This campaign adds to our extensive ongoing communications efforts.
There's a digital campaign? They're doing a digital campaign. That's our security. Oh, gosh. Okay, but you know what? We'll get to some more of this. I just have to bring this up really quickly because it would be... I should have actually led the show with it because it's so funny. Remember a couple days ago, the story was out that the NYPD was on the look for a homeless man who had defecated on an LGBTQ plus flag? I want everyone in America to know, you can rest easy tonight. This piece of trash who disrespected America's national religion is off the street. He has been charged with hate crimes. If you're a homeless person, you can crap anywhere you want. You can do as much heroin as you want. You can scream obscenities at people. I mean, my goodness, you can actually assault people severely, and even then they'll let you right out of jail. But you listen to me, homeless people. Don't you think for one second we, the United States of Gay, don't think we're going to stand by and watch you desecrate the symbol of our nation's religion. We won't stand for it. So if you want to poop on the sidewalk, if you want to grab some poor, innocent, scared girl's butt on the way by, oh, that's totally allowed here. You do whatever you want. I mean, that's fine. But don't you touch our religion in this country. We protect our religion here in the U.S. of Gay. And if you disrespect it, you're going to jail, pal. Look, if you want to poop on a flag, go find the old stars and stripes, the American flag. That's allowed here. Oh, my goodness. Geez, you can burn it, poop on it. Tell everyone you know about how crappy it is. If you even look sideways at the flag of the U.S. of Gay, you're going down to Chinatown, pal. You're going down. You're going to see prison for years. You watch. Hey, Chris, we have to make sure we follow this story. They're going to send this poor bum to New York State prison for a long time on hate crimes. The feds will probably ring him up, too. Hate crimes. I'm glad we got him off the streets. All right, we're not quite done on this illegal immigration stuff, and then we'll come back and get to all kinds of emails and many other stories today on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show, all right? Hang on.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra Affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.